रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 2 कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड टेक्स्ट 12 ना तु एवाहं जातु नासम् न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् न नेवर तु बट एव सटनली अहम् आई जातु एट एनी टाइम न डिड नॉट आसम एग्जिस्ट न नॉट त्वम यू न नट इमे ऑल दिस जनाधिपाः किंग्स न नेवर च ऑल्सो एव सटनली न नट भविष्यामः सल एग्जिस्ट सर्वे वयम् ऑल ऑफ अस अतः परम हियर आफ्टर ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद नेवर देर वॉज अ टाइम व्हेन आई डिड नॉट एग्जिस्ट नॉर यू नॉर ऑल दिस किंग्स नॉर इन द फ्यूचर सल एनी ऑफ अस सीज टू बी पर्पट इन द वेदास In the Katha Upanishad, as well as in Shweta Svatvara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer and of innumerable living entities. In terms of their different situations, according to individual work and reaction of work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by His plenary persons, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman tamatmastham ye anupashyanti dhiras tesam santihi saswati netaresam Kathopanishad. The same Vedic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that He Himself, Arjuna and all the kings who are assembled in the battlefield are eternally individual beings and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities both in their condition and in their liberated situation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Individual Person and Arjuna, the Lord's Eternal Associate and all the kings assembled there are individual eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past. It is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause of lamentation for anyone. The Mayavadi theory that after liberation the individual soul separated by the covering of Maya or illusion will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence is not supported herein by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Authority. Nor is the theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported herein. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna's is authoritative because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed it so much, even for the future. The Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting the argument that individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms his individuality in the past and confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in the individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and that it refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entities, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on body again? Therefore, individuality is mentioned on spiritual grounds and is thus confirmed by great acharyas like Sri Ramanuja and others. It is clearly mentioned in many places in the Gita that this spiritual individuality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord. Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide access to the great literature. The non-devotee's approach to the teachings of the Gita is something like that of the bee licking on the bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one opens the bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can test it, as it is stated in the fourth chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi's explanation of the Gita is a most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentation by the Mayavadis and wants that one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need of teaching by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and of the Lord is an eternal fact and is confirmed by the Vedas as above mentioned. Once again, welcome and thank you for allowing me to speak on this great literature, Bhagavad Gita. These are the opening shlokas in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is very much emphasizing that how we are individual souls and we are not the body, and our individuality is eternal. So he is telling Arjuna, you are lamenting for that which is not worth lamenting. What is temporary, we should not lament. And what is permanent, we should invest there. That is intelligent. That is Pandita. That is a learned person. So, there are many things. It is said that when we speak of something permanent, for example, in this world there is nothing we observe which is permanent. Everything is temporary. Not just our bodies, but even cities, villages, so many kings have come and gone. Cities came up and down. न्यू न्यू रिवर्स हैव कम, रिवर्स हैव गॉन, यू नो, ओशन हैव ड्राइड अप प्लेसेस. वी गेट दिस माइंड सॉल्ट दैट द ओशन यूज्ड टू बी देयर प्रीवियसली, इट्स नाउ ड्राइड ऑफ. सो मेनी थिंग्स कीप चेंजिंग अप टू द पॉइंट दैट इवन द सन इज गोइंग टू डाई समडे अकॉर्डिंग टू आवर अंडरस्टैंडिंग. इट हैज अ लाइफ स्पैन. So when sun dies, everything stops here. Excuse me. Everything stops. So, in our observation, there is nothing which is permanent here. Everything is temporary. So then from where the concept of permanence comes? From where this feeling that I want to live happily forever, I want to stay, live forever. I want to have permanent relationship. I want to have these people around me all the time. Where all this conception comes from? Everything is temporary. This conception would have never arise. You know, it can't arise. It will never been arisen, right? The very fact that it is arising, that means we are none of these things surrounding us. They're all coming and going, but something inside is telling me within that actually I'm a person who's seeking permanent thing. But the problem and all the miseries is coming because we are expecting a permanent happiness situation or permanent happiness from a temporary situation. It's because of that all kind of distress, miseries, misconception, misunderstanding, everything is arising because of. So therefore, right from the beginning, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Lord Krishna, he is trying to clarify this misconception from Arjuna's mind. Krishna is not a political person who is saying, okay, I support Duryodhan, I support Yudhishthir, not Duryodhan. And somebody else is supporting Duryodhan, Karna is supporting Duryodhan, I don't like Karna, therefore I am on the side of Yudhishthir. It's not like that. It is not a political stance at all. Krishna wants dharma to be established so that people can engage in eternal activities of the soul, so that we can become more self-realized. That is the whole idea. Why no Duryodhan? Because Duryodhan's presence will not create an atmosphere where people will be inspired to practice spiritual life or cultivate spiritual life. Because Duryodhan himself was a very materialistic, selfish person. So in this world, if somebody is selfish, as long as he is not hurting the society or people around, then that's fine, one may say it's fine. Okay, Duryodhan is a good administrator. He was a good king. He was very skillful in administration. And actually the economy was thriving. It was growing up. So what's wrong having him as a king? It doesn't matter whether Yudhishthira or Duryodhan. If things are improving, then fine. But the problem is, people in general follow the leaders. If the leader is a nice person which values understanding of scriptures and belief in God and trying to go beyond these temporary situations, and if such a person is leader, then the general mass will naturally follow such a person. But if the leader is a very selfish and arrogant and proud and but doing all kind of material facilities happening, if such a person becomes leader, then population also not only follow, but he will also make standards of that kind within the society. So there is no scope for any spiritual growth. And this is the reason why people suffer here, because of these misconceptions. Therefore, when Lord Krishna wants Arjuna to fight, he is trying to establish dharma or kind of a spiritual culture within society, which is good for all, which is ultimate good for all. Therefore, he is speaking all these things. You are lamenting for something which is temporary and you shouldn't be. Try to understand. So therefore, the very fact that we are eternal, living in a temporary situation, is something that needs to be addressed. And then further going into the details of our existence, Krishna is saying, not only in the past we existed, but also in future we will continue to stay, whether this body is there or not. So why are you lamenting? You think Bhishma is going to die? Your grandfather Bhishma, whom you love so much, do you think he is going to die? The body will die, he will continue to live. In fact, he will get a fresh, new body. Okay. Because now he is old. You know, this Mahabharata was fought 5,000 years back. And if you look at the array of the fighters, warriors who stood there, it stands from grandfather like Bhishma to grandson like Abhimanyu. So in the same war line, you will find a grandson and grandfather standing to fight. That means they had a lot of strength. You know, we say the lifespan used to be more in Dwapara Yuga, 1,000 years. In Kali Yuga, we won't find a grandfather and a grandson. Great-grandson probably. Because Arjuna is grandson of Bhishma. Right? So great-grandson, Abhimanyu. They are fighting in the same war. Face to face. That means they had strength. It's not that you just go to play in wars. You know, it's a question of life and death. Real war. So that shows that their lifespan were also more. Anyway, but the point is, Vishnu was quite old by that time. He says, no problem. The body will change, but the person will continue to live. So why are you lamenting? So now, in this section, Srila Prabhupada is trying to bring to our notice a truth about spirituality or spirit soul. When we come to spiritual life, there are many questions which are difficult to answer. Because at the moment we are in ignorance. It is very difficult to not to think that we are not the body. It is very difficult. At this moment, when we are not self-realized, when we are not free from desires to enjoy, it is difficult to ascertain that we are spirit soul. Because we are in illusion. We are continuing in the sleep. Just like I will give you some more example. When I was a small boy, we used to fly kites. One of my friends used to fly kites. I used to help him to make kites and to make that thread and all those things. I had no personal interest in flying kites. I had absolutely no interest. But because my very good friend, dear friend, he had interest, so I used to help him doing things. But he would just be absorbed in that kite flying. And we would be playing like say 3-4 hours sometimes, Evening 4 to afternoon 4 to evening 7 PM, like that. And then we'd go back home. He would go back home. And because of so much of play during daytime, afternoon time, while studying he would fall asleep. And he was the only son in family, so they would not disturb him much. So around 8 PM or within 1 hour, 1.5 hour, he would be deep sleep. Everybody would be there in the home, they would be doing things, talking, but he would be sleeping in the bed, full ignorance, full of sleep. And in the sleeping state, he would dream that he is flying a kite. In India, they would fly a kite. And then the two kites will come like this, and the thread will cross each other. Then they will go like this. And one whose thread is stronger will cut the other thread, and that kite will just go like this. That kite will die, basically. Have you seen such things? That's a sport there. So I used to make his thread very strong with glass and gum and all those things. So you would fly somebody else's thread, then we just go like this for some time. Ting, 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 then chick. One flight is get caught. So he is sleeping and dreaming that he is flying kite and he has caught somebody else's kite. And he becomes so excited. See, he gets up from the bed, literally. I have won, like that he screams. Then after some time he goes back to bed and goes to sleep, not knowing that in his dream he got up and he screamed right in front of everybody. So what happens in a person is too much an illusion, they don't realize who they are or who the people surrounding them, you know, his father, mother is there and some elderly people, some teacher is sitting, somebody is sitting, he's not caring, like again for him it was a playground, so he's screaming out, not understanding what is happening. So when we are in a sleeping state, it is very difficult to understand who we are. Even if we are awake, he was actually awake, you're standing, he's screaming, but he didn't know that it was not a playground, it was right in the home, the living room, people are sitting there doing something. He had no idea, no sense. Similarly, as long as we are in the bodily concept of life, we are actually in a kind of sleep mode. And it is very difficult to understand we are spirit soul. It's not possible. So then, to understand the nature of soul, its qualities, it is very difficult for people like us. Yeah, we are just beginning to understand that, yes, there is something permanent and we are probably that permanent being. I am that being. But even if somebody dies in front of us, we cry. We get disturbed. When the relationship, you know, because caught up because of death, we become very much concerned about it. Very much in a affection for the body. So this shows that even if a little bit of understanding that, yes, we are spirit soul, permanent eternal being, but it's very difficult to understand its nature. So therefore, to understand that, we need literature. We need books like Bhagavad Gita, where it is explained what it is. You know, I studied some science and technology in my student career. All this technology, we have microphone, mobile phones, these are all based on electromagnetic waves, and these scientific discovery was made way back in early 20th century, right, when Einstein and all those scientists were there. What we are getting nowadays is the application of those discoveries. The discovery has not grown much beyond that, but whatever they did, so during those time it was only few people who could grasp what Einstein was speaking, or many other eminent scientists were speaking, very few people could grasp it. There are things like this electromagnetic waves and all those things. We know that we have two experiences in life. One is the particle, the other is called a wave. Just a little bit of, we'll go to the science and come back. I'll just try to connect to it. So something that is particle, like like football. When you kick, it moves in a particular trajectory. You can see it is movement. We can observe, right? The other is wave. Wave means I'm speaking, everybody can hear. It goes, it delocalizes. It just goes all over. Whereas football is localized. It goes in a particular trajectory, particular direction. But can you think of something which is a particle as well as a wave simultaneously? Can we think of something like that? We can't think of. But Einstein could think of. And therefore we have so many things, you know, so many gadgets, satellites are moving, the navigation is happening. Because one person could think like that. Something came to him. This is called tattva. Something manifests within his heart, his mind, and he started, you know, saying, oh, it's like this, oh, what is this? Somebody asked Einstein, it is said that there are three persons who understand the theory of relativity that you are speaking about. Is it so? He started thinking. Then the reporter asked him, why are you thinking, sir? I'm just asking a simple question, yes or no. He said, no, no, I'm thinking, who is that third person? Only two have understood, according to him. Who is the third person? So it was so difficult to understand. So then, they have written many things. So those who try to understand, they read those literatures. And it is said, some of the eminent physicists, they say, to actually grasp this subject matter, it takes years and years and years of reading these books again and again and again and doing some experiment again and again and again. Then after many, many years, they start to feel what it is. For us, we are using the mobile phones with all this thing we are using. We don't know what it is actually, what the beneficiary is. We may know that here is a diode, here is a triode, here is a, you know, a transistor and this and that. You connect and it starts working. Okay, fine. That is information. That is not tattva. That is not the real deep knowledge. That is just information. That's like a mechanic. An engineer knows a little bit more. He knows thermodynamics, he knows this, this equation, that equation. But actually to perceive. So the acharyas, in the spiritual field, there are acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. So these are acharyas, they are not an ordinary person. They have understood the truth. Jnaninam tattva darshanam. Upadyakshanti te jnanam, jnaninam tattva darshanam. They are tattva darshi. They have actually understood the truth, the tattva, the substance, and they can explain. So, such great personality speaks about soul, which is so difficult to understand. So therefore, this literature are very important to read again and again and again. I'm so happy that all of you are coming together every day evening hearing Bhagavad Gita. It is actually very good. It's fantastic. So when we hear again and again and again, then we start understanding what it is, then the application will be more effective in our life. So here, Lord Krishna is speaking the nature of the soul little more in more depth. And there are conflict among spiritual leaders about the nature of soul. Naturally, it is so difficult to understand, there has to be some conflict, isn't it? You believe it or not, there are conflict between the way Einstein thought and the way some other quantum mechanist thought. The quantum mechanics is one field of physics, relativity is another field of physics. They don't agree in certain areas. But we use both the aspects to our benefits. But these big leaders, they don't agree. It's not that they disrespect, they argue, they fight with each other. But they say, how can it be this? If it is like this, it should be like this. They think like this. Then the other thing is, how can it be like this? It has to be like this. But there is some problem here. I'm not able to resolve. But we can't take help of that to resolve this. So how can that be? Things like that, there are discussions. It is still going on. It's not resolved yet. So, similarly, when we speak about the nature of soul, there are also different theories and there seems to be conflict. And we, the Vaishnavas, we follow the Acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Himself, Supreme Lord, and Krishna's opinion here also. Krishna, the Supreme Lord. The Acharya is trying to explain, some believe that Atma, like we are eternal, but in the state of liberation, we merge back to the Supreme Lord and become one. We lose our existence. But in Vaishnava philosophy, understanding, the Acharya explain that no, we don't merge into the Supreme Brahman, but we maintain our individuality. In the liberated state also. But when we understand this spirituality more and more, we find that these truths are existing side by side. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, He is the Supreme Lord. And He actually loves all the living entities. And He facilitates all our desires in different way. But at the same time, he wants us to come back to him. The 15th chapter, if you read Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, Krishna says that the living entities, he is going around in this material world in so many different spaces of life, thinking himself to be the controller, himself or herself. Thinking ourselves to be Ishwaramati, that we are controller. Right? Don't we have this, we have this inherently kind of misconception that we are controller. But actually if we look back in our life, we can't control anything. Isn't it? Yes, bro, you're president. It's so difficult to control. We can't even control our own senses and mind, what to speak of controlling other people's senses and mind. That is very tough. We can't control. But we have this strong feeling that I am in control, I can control. Ishwaramati, Krishna says, people have this conception. But what is the situation? They're helplessly going from one body to other body. They're helplessly going, you know, this body, that body, keep going, trying to become master. He says, they're all suffering here, but I want them to come back to kingdom of God, spiritual world, which is my home, Krishna says. Tadbhasayate surya na sasankana pavaka yad gatva na nivartate tad dhama paramam mama. That is, actually everything is Krishna's about. Everything is Lord's creation. Everything belongs to him. He is the owner. Isn't it? There was a nice story. There was a king in India. His name is Akbar. Very popular king he used to be in history. And he had an advisor, his name was Birbal. So Birbal is from Hindu community and Akbar is Islam community. He was the king, Akbar was the king. So one day this Birbal told Akbar, Highness, the king, you know what? Thus Akbar asked what? He said, you are bigger than God. He was like trying to, you know, flatter him. So he said, you are bigger than God. But in Islam they say, Allahu Akbar, mean Allah is greatest. That is their, you know, one of their, like in our, even Krishna is supreme, we say. So there is also nothing wrong. So, but they are very, you know, strict about their concepts. He said, Allahu Akbar. So he thought, he is trying to indirectly criticize Islam. He thought like that. He became very disturbed, very angry. He said, hey, what is this? What is this? This is nonsense. This is not good. You must explain how I am bigger than God. If you can't explain, I will cut your head. Because he was very, he was angry, he was disturbed. Then he said, come on, relax. Don't get angry. They were very good friends. Then you say, but you have to explain. You made such a statement, you have to explain it. He said, no, I'll explain, don't worry. So, here it is. He said, see, my dear king, if somebody don't follow the law of the land, that you are creating some laws for the land, somebody breaks the law, you have an authority and power to throw that person outside your country. Yes or no? He said, of course, yes, I have that power. He said, God doesn't have that power. Because wherever he throws somebody is all kingdom. wherever he throws him out, he can't throw him out because everything is his property. Why will he throw him out? Then he said, it's a good logic. Then he said, okay, fine. But then he established God is great. He's the greatest actually. So everything is Krishna's property. Isa Vasya Midam Jagat. Everything is Krishna's. Everything is Supreme Lord's. But he says, of all the places, there is one place which I consider to be my own. Like this temple maybe, temple is of course Panchatattva's temple. But president, he is the one who is overseeing the whole thing, he is taking care. But inside the entire temple, there may be a small room where he works, studies, and he says, this place is very nice. You know? Or you may be thinking, this temple hall is very nice. In Radha Gopinath temple, Chowpatty, we didn't have a proper ashram for many, many, still now it is not there. So I used to sleep in the temple hall. In the temple hall in the night we used to sleep. And for many years, for almost 15 years, I slept there. And now I've got a small room. Many are still sleeping in the temple hall. But I would feel so happy sleeping there. It was the best, you know. And now I don't go back out of laziness. I've got a small place room. I'm just sleeping there in the night. But the temple hall sleeping was a very good experience. I felt this is the best place in the whole world. And such happiness I would derive while just lying down there. And then the curtain closes in the night. You know, we pay obeisances, then we go to sleep. It's a very nice experience. So similarly, Krishna says, there is so everything is mine, but I have a very special abode which I consider mine. That is Golok Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. He says, Natad Vahasyata Shri, there is no need of sun, no need of moon, no need of fire, no need of electricity. So here, if we examine our life without sun, no photosynthesis, no plants, no fruits, no vegetables, no animals, nothing. Right? Without fire, even if we have vegetables and grains, without fire we can't cook. If we can't cook, we can't digest, you know. For us, fire is very important. Fire gives us warmth and fire gives us so many things, other things. So without fire, we can't exist. Without sun, we cannot exist. Without moon, vegetables will not get its taste. Even if the vegetable is there, but if the vegetable doesn't have any taste in it, how can we eat? We'll say, no need to eat. If you don't eat, you won't live. And it has to have some taste for us to accept it. So without sun, moon and fire, we can't exist. We can't live. Krishna says, in my abode, these things are not required. That we are actually independent. Here we are dependent. Very much dependent. But there we are free. We can exist just like that. What a wonderful place, isn't it? So this is the thing Krishna is saying. We are all suffering in so many different ways, but we have to come there and we can actually exist forever. Individuals. But there are others who says the soul can merge into the Brahman. But as I was saying, Krishna actually facilitates, because we want to enjoy here, he is facilitating all these places. If you want to go there, he will facilitate that also, because he is a loving father. And for those who want to merge in the Supreme, he also facilitates that. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satame bhajavaham. He says, as one approaches me, accordingly I reciprocate. Ravana wanted to fight with Lord Ram, so he fought. Ravana wanted to fight, right? Everybody advised him, don't fight with him. You won't win. But he wanted to fight. So because he wanted to fight, Lord Ram had to reciprocate, he also fought. But then when you fight with the Supreme, what will happen? Who will win? It's a fixed match, right? Everybody knows who's going to win. So he lost. But because he was constantly thinking about Lord Ram and he fought, he was liberated. Because that is his compassion. That is compassion of the Lord. Anyway, so the point is, if one wants to merge with the Supreme Brahman, he also facilitates that. So there are people who are called Brahmabadis. They meditate on the Brahman all the time and they actually merge into the Brahman. So when we speak about these things, they are not absolutely wrong. Some concepts are like this, some concepts are like that. But then, the individuality is always there, even in the merged state. Just like there's a river, they enter the ocean, become ocean. No, river water, that H2O molecule, whatever is entered the ocean, is still H2O. That particular molecule is still there. The individuality is never lost. So that is the point Srila Prabhupada is trying to bring here. That we are always individuals, we will always remain individuals. But according to our desires, the Lord reciprocates. We want to merge, want to go to Vaikuntha, Golok Vrindavan, or we want to stay here as Ishwara, thinking that we are Ishwara. We are not Ishwaras, but we think like that. So in this way, all these things are explained so nicely in Bhagavad Gita. And if we study it regularly, and our intelligence will be very sharp, it will be well equipped to accept the truth and to live a life so that we can realize that truth. And that will give us a lot of satisfaction, a lot of happiness, a lot of bliss, a lot of hope to continue life. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And I would like to thank all of you, because tomorrow morning I am leaving before Mangalarti. So my heartfelt gratitude to all of you for allowing me to come here, Anand Prabhu and all of you, and allow me to participate here in service in different ways. I'm really grateful, and I have been trying to go around the world and share this sattvic cooking, which is fit for offering to Krishna. And not only one can grow spiritually by adopting such kind of cooking style in our lifestyle, but also it will award individuals a good health and a balanced mind, and that will help a person to grow spiritually. So I'm just trying to share this, and I have requested many devotees to support and help, and Anant Prabhu is one of your leader who has accepted that, and he has supporting me in that way. So I'm really, really grateful. Thank you. And whenever I get a chance again, I would like to come back with you. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If I have done any mistakes or spoke anything wrong, please excuse me, forgive me. And let me know about it, then I'll rectify next time. Thank you. Any questions or comment? I have to speak on the microphone. Oh. Yeah, he is asking, in spiritual everything is living, everything is conscious. So the laddu is also conscious. What happens when Krishna eats the laddu? What happens to the laddu? See, in spiritual world everything is a pastime, is a leela. Everything is done just to increase pleasure. You know, here we are trying to eat, you know. And just eat and enjoy and stick it inside. That is our kind of, you know, constant endeavor to enjoy. And just, what is this? Let me eat it and things like that. Very pathetic situation. Very miserable situation. Yeah? But when Krishna eats, he is not trying to enjoy. He is eating to increase the pleasure. Somebody is cooking, Srimati Radharani is cooking a laddu. So he is Ashri Panchatattva ki. Haribol. So to increase the pleasure of Krishna, she is cooking. To increase the pleasure of Radharani, he is eating. Okay. The laddu, it is also conscious, you know. So the laddu is so happy that it is cooked by Radharani. Okay, the laddu is very happy. And laddu is very happy that Krishna is touching and putting in his mouth. He's very happy. The laddu, after that whole thing is done, that lila is over, then once when Radharani cooks laddu again, the laddu again reappears. The laddu is existing. It is not gone. It is gone, not gone and dead. Next time she cooks that laddu, that particular laddu, the laddu is there. She can cook another laddu also. She can cook another laddu. There are millions of laddus. But when she cooks that particular laddu is still there. Then Krishna picks it and eats. Okay, it's like that. It's something inconceivable. For us it is inconceivable. But that's how it is happening. There the wind is blowing, the trees are, you know, the birds are chirping. Everything is to increase pleasure. They're all happy. Something we cannot, because we are conditioned by this body, senses and mind, we can't perceive those. Just like a particle, how can it be wave? And there are, in mathematics, there is called imaginary numbers. You know, imaginary numbers? -20 square root, -1 square root. How can you multiply something into something and get a negative number? That is not possible. But they exist. And because they exist, there are so many things that are happening. They're existing. But actually, then logically speaking, it's not possible. But they exist. So similarly, there are many things in this world we can't understand. Then what to speak of understanding things that is happening in another nature? This is one nature, this is another nature. It's difficult for us to perceive, conceive. But the informations are there. This is what is happening there. And there is a way to achieve to such state. Okay. Yeah, you had a question. This is inconceivable, Achintya. we can answer this. The mind is, you know, imagination has no end. Because when we cook, today we made sandesh, right, with carob. Tomorrow we can make the same sandesh with saffron. Sometime with vanilla. Sometime combine vanilla and saffron. Sometimes saffron and carob. Sometimes add some camphor. There are so many ways to cook the same sandesh. The same laddu is there, but now it is coming with something else. Coming with something else. Coming with something else. Some accompaniment. New friends are coming along with it. So like that. Prabhupada is making so many types of cookies and all. Honey cookies. So like that. There is no end. Any other queries or questions? Jai Shri Prabhupada ki nitai kurpemanande hari hari. Thank you.